The management of this station would like to apologize for anything that may offend you on today's show. Specifically, we'd like to preemptively say we're sorry to women, men, children, the elderly, pets, all major world religions, the governors of all 50 states and their families, Heidi and Spencer Pratt, and anyone who requested a song we did not play. Let's return to the show, which will remain nameless so we can use this apology again in the event we need to fire them after giving in to protesters. And now, for now, here's...
Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
Go Shorty, it's your birthday, and you can party like it's your birthday at this beautiful 50,000 square foot Connecticut estate. Live like a PIMP in this 19 bedroom, 19 bath, Mediterranean style mansion that sits on 17 fat acres. Get your drink on in its one-of-a-kind party room that features a disco. You'll feel like you're in the club without leaving your home. Chill with your homies in the private screening and game room, kick it with the hoes in the 40-person hot tub, or spit some dope rhymes in the state-of-the-art recording studio. Offered at just $18 million, we guarantee you won't be hating on this beautiful property. Flip the celly and call for an appointment to see this outstanding crib today.
This station presents Real American Heroes. Today we salute you, Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner. You waited in line for hours among hundreds of other contestants just for a shot to appear on national television wearing a cape around your shoulders and with a song in your heart.
Kelly Clarkson never wore a cape.
Then, Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner, you get your big chance in front of the judges and proceed to croon out a bizarre love ballad for Paula that you wrote yourself.
Quick, someone call security.
Come on, did you really think you would? Her. So the next time you're watching Idol and see a chubby guy with an extra chromosome, a skinny kid with crazy eyes, or any man wearing a costume, don't touch the remote, but get ready for Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner, a real American hero. Well, at least your grandma thinks you're talented.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, April 14th. One day before tax day. Have you done your taxes yet?
What do you think, Sam?
No.
Well, there you go. There you go, Sam.
So what are you going to do?
I'm going to quickly do it tonight, I guess, online.
You can also file an extension if you want to.
Mine's not that hard.
No,
I mean,
huh?
I'm not rocking a whole
lot.
It's
just that you left it to the last minute. So do you do it yourself? Or do you?
Yeah, TurboTax, it's pretty easy. I was actually just reading, though. Good morning, everybody. That Yahoo has has some news online from the New York Times talking about the many filers confused by the stimulus tax credit. I don't know if you're familiar with this. Probably not. Most people aren't. But that for 95% of Americans, Obama did do a follow-through with his broad-based tax relief, and that's by cutting $400 from the total tax bill for individuals and $800 for married couples.
Oh, for married couples.
And the problem is that most people don't know. They have to do it themselves.
Uh-huh.
They have to file it's a new form, Schedule M.
Uh-huh.
That's what it's called.
Really? So you don't get it automatically?
You don't. But now what's happening is that they're going back and they're correcting the errors of people that didn't file this, which is just causing major, major delays. And it's affected our retirees. It's also affecting a lot of people that the way that the businesses have done withholdings from the, it's right. very complicated. I mean, I don't know what the hell it means, but even in this article, they were saying that, you know, accountants are confused.
Really?
Yeah, they're like, Wonderful. It's a good concept, but the you know, the execution of it is, you know, a little rough.
Yeah, wonderful.
Very rough.
Yeah.
So, they say the best way to avoid errors is to go online, go electronically file your taxes. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, you can go to www.irs.gov and check it out there. But yeah, apparently a lot of people didn't do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, weren't aware.
Yeah. The cool thing is that you can do it online, you know, so it's a lot faster.
I've done mine online. It's never taken. Well, I don't have a lot of deduction. I don't have all that mess.
Right.
You know?
Just do like a simple 1040.
I do the basic. The one I got a job. Yeah. And now it's my turn to do the part that tells you I had a job.
Right.
That part. You know, and I've got like 5 W-2s. It's hysterical.
Yeah. So you'll probably get some money back, huh?
Did you we're
pay
gonna.
A lot of taxes?
I don't know. Yeah. Probably not. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not rolling in the money, so what is a person...
You shouldn't... Well, you will know by tonight when you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, I mean, I'm going to qualify... I mean, clearly, I'm going to get this... Whatever this thing is.
Yeah. I'm sure you're not going to have to pay, you know, so don't worry about that. You know, it's just a question.
Well, here's the thing. I have $1,700 of income that I didn't... That I was supposed to withhold...
Right.
Taxes, and I didn't.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you'll owe some on that.
I'll owe some on that, but then right. what I'm supposed to get back
right.
will probably cancel some
Offset
of that out.
Offset that, yeah.
But it's only $1,700. I mean, yeah. How much can that be?
Well, about 15% of that.
Really?
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
That's about $200.
Okay, so, that, yeah. so that'll go back. Okay.
Yeah.
I think it'll be fine, though.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
I'll be fine.
So how are you doing this morning?
I'm rough, man. As
really?
You can tell, no eyelashes on today.
Yeah?
It's rough. We had Claire's real birthday last night.
Ah.
The party isn't stopping, Sam.
Yeah.
And it will soon. It needs to. I'm going to look 45 and like, not that that's bad, but not when you're in your 20s.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, it's been fun. You know, we did her birthday on Saturday, had a great time. It was a party. Well, yesterday was her real birthday, so right. Sarah and I got a couple goodies for her and little surprises, but we didn't have anything really planned for the evening other than we were going to go to Bird's for happy hour, and that's what we just love that place. So right. we're like, oh, okay, we'll do it, which is 11 o'clock at night, the happy hour is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that when you went out at 11?
Yeah. Mm. That's why I'm looking like this.
Yeah.
And anyway, well, I, you know, they call me grandma because I like to go to bed early, you know, I like to go to bed by midnight. Is that early? You
no,
know?
That's not early at all.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
Only for people that don't have to get up in the morning.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I mean, I wake up around 6 or 7 every morning, so it's like,
yeah,
I need to sleep.
Yeah.
So we're going to go out, and it was a little bit, what's the right word? Claire had a little bit of a I don't want to say breakdown. It wasn't a breakdown. What is it called?
Meltdown?
No, I'm making it funny. Do you know when you kind of get the birthday blues? See, the thing is we already celebrated her birthday, and then her real birthday
right.
came, and so it's kind of like
a downer.
It's kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm always a firm believer by celebrate on your birthday or after your birthday so you have it to look forward to.
Right.
Not before.
Yeah.
Cuz then it's like
Yeah, that's true. It does make some sense.
Yeah, but we went to Bird's and she had a blast. So actually, the whole night was amazing.
Yeah, that's
we had
nice.
A great time. They had great music on. She had a bunch of friends and we all got together and we danced and I met a cute boy.
You're meeting one just about every day.
I do. I just meet
right?
people. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying I go out with every one of them, but
right.
Yeah, no, I meet people all the time. I just have fun. But yeah, yeah I was this dude. He was fun. He was a really fun. He's a really fun guy. Yeah. I talked to him. He just danced and talked some more.
Uh-huh.
I had a really great time. But no, Claire had a great time, and we all just danced and had fun, and it's just a fun place. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were there a lot of people there at 11 o'clock?
Yeah, I mean it's really well known for its happy hour.
Yeah.
And it's got great deals. Like I think the wine is like $3 or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah, like the drinks are super cheap, and so there's a theater called the UCB, which is right by Bird's, and a lot of people get out of the theater and they go to the happy hour. So it's really a lot of fun. Mm. It's a great local spot. But this is funny. So there's this guy who went to Claire's birthday. I met him at her birthday party.
Right.
And
Claire, for those who don't know, is Ciara's roommate.
I'm sorry, yes, my roommate.
And Ciara is her roommate as well.
And they've
well,
been on the show a couple times each.
Right.
And anyway, this guy, he comes to this birthday, and he's fun. He's joking around. He's dancing. We had a great time. And he proceeds to ask out Sarah, and then he asks out Claire, who's married. Mm-hmm. And then he sends me an email asking me out. And I'm like, this guy has no damn sense.
Right.
Like, you pick the girl, and then you go for her.
Right.
You don't do the numbers game. Or if you are, you make sure they don't all live in the same damn house.
Yeah.
Isn't that stupid?
It is very stupid.
I mean, if you're going to do the numbers game, and you're just going to see who goes for the bait.
Right.
You make sure they don't all hang out and talk.
Exactly, and talk
you
about
idiot.
It.
Yeah. I mean, how cool does it make a girl feel when you know that, like, you know, I was third on the list. I'm not into him anyway. I thought he's a cool guy, but not into him anyway.
Yeah.
But it's funny. So, like, last night, he randomly shows up. He just sent me this long email about, like, hey, da 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 da, I think you're cool. I think you're this, da 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 da. And I think we should hang out. And what do you think? You want to go out sometime? It's just, like, kind of a long email. And then he showed up last night.
Really?
At Birds. Claire yeah. must have mentioned, she said, I guess I mentioned it in passing. So this guy shows up and he's around all of us. And I was talking to another guy pretty much the whole night and he kept trying to get in there and talk.
Really?
And I was just like, dude, just, I know your game. Relax. Yeah. I'm not interested. And he kind of had some rank breath.
Yeah.
I mean, we all sometimes have bad breath, but it was just kind of like intense.
Yeah.
But it's funny. So he showed up and then was trying to get in the mix. And he, again, if he would just play the friend card and wants to hang out, he'd be great.
Yeah.
But then my friend's engaged and he asked out my friend who's engaged.
Really?
So he's out Claire. Claire's married.
What the hell is wrong with this guy?
The dude's just not, he's just not the sharpest tool in the shed. He asks right. out Claire, who's married. And then he asks out my friend who is engaged.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, great. Yeah, what a great strategy this guy has.
Dude, he's got no strategy.
Yeah.
And it just shows there's some guys that do this, and girls, I guess, do it too, where you can tell, and I don't need to know all the details sometimes because you can just tell, when a guy is just looking for whoever is going to take the bait.
Right.
You could tell that they're just feeding you the same line. Yeah. They've met a bunch of people.
Yeah, and what kind of bait was he offering anyway? Himself?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, just this whole, like, cutesy, kind of playful, dancy, high five, I'm in the middle of a conversation right
yeah.
now, relax.
I'm surprised he didn't come up with an idea, like, to go in the bathroom and get it on or something, you know?
No.
I mean, that kind of a guy seems like he'd stop at nothing.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is he's not, like, the predator guy. He's, like, the fun, funny kind of guy. So he's very fun to be around, but his game, you know, he's not that aggressive, but his game is kind of...
Yeah. Not for you, huh?
No.
So what time did you get home?
I mean, like 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's late.
Yeah. It was late. But it was fun. I mean, it's her birthday. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Stay in it? I almost was like, look, Claire, you know I love you.
Yeah.
But Mama's got to get her sleep, okay? Yeah, because I got a really full day today, so I'm not even going to get home till late tonight.
Really?
Yeah, I have clothes to change into in my car.
Oh.
My makeup's in my car.
Yeah, you got a gig or something today?
I have the little part-time job I picked up.
Right.
And then I'm going to a concert tonight. I wanted to go see Melinda, who we had on the show yesterday. I want to see her show tonight, but I don't think I'm going to be able to make it because I need to be there by 7:30, and it's not going to happen.
Right.
To get kind of an open spot.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's good. Work comes first.
Yeah. So yeah, it's not going to happen. And then, but a good friend of mine is in from out of town, and he's going to see an artist that we both really like, so I'm going to go.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. He and I were involved at one point, and now he fell in love with this girl from Italy, and he's flown to Italy, and they're like having this whirlwind romance, and it's interesting that he and I are going to hang out, and he's a great person. Like, he's one of those people that are just, you know, you meet people that are just so cool. He's such a cool guy. But it's interesting that we were kind of involved and now he's in a relationship and we're just going to go kick it tonight.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That you can go there and then come back
with his fiance?
No, she's in Italy.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I don't have feelings for him like that.
Yeah, but would she be happy about it? About you guys meeting?
I don't know. I don't know her.
Yeah.
I mean, we are friends. We've stayed in contact for a few years.
Yeah, but does she know your friends?
I don't know if she knows every girlfriend that he has dated, that they're still friends.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't find myself to be a threat in that category because I'm not really involved. I'm not interested.
But she wouldn't know that, you know? To her, it would just be, oh, my fiancé went out to lunch or to dinner, whatever, with this chick. Yeah, and I don't know her.
How would I feel? Okay, so my guy goes out of town, and he goes to a concert, and he calls up an ex-girlfriend. If you didn't know me, I would be against it. Does that make sense? Because I'm so not a threat because I'm not interested.
Right.
But if it was if I didn't know me and the concept
right.
adamantly against.
Yeah.
I'm very protective though like that because I just think that I want to be somebody I can trust, but I also don't at all want my man getting any kind of needs met through another woman. And I don't mean physically that, obviously, but I also mean
like emotionally.
Fun. I don't
right?
want him to have his fun with another girl. He's
right.
not going to have the best laughs with another girl.
Uh-huh.
And they're not going to bond over music together. That's just not happening.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Like, there's just intimacy
so
that
So you're
happens.
Sort of an accomplice here.
Well, I don't know if he's doing anything wrong. I mean, I don't think he's interested in me either. He's madly in love with this girl.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, the thing is it doesn't look right. You
it
know?
Doesn't look right, but what's wrong about it in this situation?
I don't know.
We're both
the fact that she's not here.
Maybe.
Is he going to tell her about it?
Maybe.
We don't know, right?
I mean, I'm not interested in him.
Right.
He's not interested in me right now.
Yeah, but again, she doesn't know that, so.
Well, she doesn't know
whatever.
Any of it, I guess. I don't
yeah.
know. I don't know if it's
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, you just like wouldn't want to be on the other side, you know? And it's not like you guys are just friends. I mean, you were involved at one time.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah.
And we've maintained a friendship.
Yeah.
Which is kind of rare. I don't really have a lot of friends with the guys. I mean, not that it's mean or anything, but...
Yeah.
It's just once you well, go
I
there...
I do. I've kept in touch with some ex-girlfriends.
Yeah, you do. I've kept in touch with some people, I mean, that I'm friends with. But, I mean, friends, what does that mean? You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's an intimacy we have of each other.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, but we're talking about someone you used to go out with before.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's different. But at the same time, you know, it depends. Because if she knows and she approves, then it's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
You know. But at any rate, I mean, it's not like you're going to fuck the guy or something, you know. So.
Well put, Sam. Well put.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I mean, we call them as we see them.
You're crazy.
Why?
You know, just funny the way you put it. Yeah, I gotta fuck him.
So, you heard about the earthquake in China yesterday, right?
I was partying last night. I didn't hear about anything.
Yeah.
What? It happened? What?
Yesterday.
It really?
400 people dead.
Are you kidding?
And 10,000 injured. A 6.9 magnitude.
Are you kidding me? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, is this starting to scare you or what? I mean, these are like some big earthquakes we've been getting around the world.
I think it's a wake-up call, but I don't believe that it's people are bad so the earthquake happens. I don't believe in that, but I also believe that this world has kind of a timeline.
Right.
And I believe spiritually, I mean, I don't have, these are just thoughts I have. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. So everybody listening, I'm not claiming anything. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that and the Bible talks about the end times, mm-hmm. and which is the return of Christ and it talks about, you know, you will hear wars and about wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and basically a lot of natural disasters. The thing is we've had wars for a long time and we've had natural disasters for a long time, right?
Right.
So people aren't freaking out over it. But this, we have to say, has been probably the most frequent that we know.
Right.
And like, you know, we know. I mean,
right.
there's
but
been...
But what does that mean? Does it mean anything? That they're more frequent?
Well, I think what it means is that there's, for me, it's a spiritual call, mm-hmm. and it's also kind of asking the bigger questions in life and,
right.
and what really matters and where is God and it just basically gets my attention.
Right. So you don't think it's the tectonic plates?
No, absolutely. Oh, yeah. You mean the science? Oh, well, obviously. But
yeah.
I'm saying science is the fabric of God's work in some ways, and I mean that's the physical reality is yeah plate tectonics and yeah all of that definitely, but I mean the frequency of it and the world is maybe shifting and that there's
yeah.
some huge changes happening. I mean I think there's it points to something bigger, although it is physically a
right.
scientific.
But why do we have to associate it with anything other than just a physical occurrence?
You don't have to do anything.
Yeah. No, I know, but yeah. I think that's how religion started. It's people that were less sophisticated than us.
Really?
Would see earthquakes, would see tornadoes, and they would associate this with an angry god. You
well,
know?
I don't put me in that category, because I don't believe, like, there's people that have gone off and will say, like, what is that pastor that talked about? Everybody in Haiti deserved it, or something, like people that brought it on themselves. And
yeah.
I don't believe that natural disaster is necessarily a cause because people have been bad people or God is angry with you. I'm not saying that at all. In fact, I don't believe that, really.
Mm.
I do think, though, that sometimes, just for me spiritually, I mean,
right.
Everybody believes everything else, is to me, I kind of look at it, though, as this world is on a timeline.
Right.
And that there's some birthing pains of stuff, and that I don't have it figured out, I don't know, but that there's something that is to come.
Right.
And I feel like it's a precursor to something else. Will I ever, you know, be able to write that in a, you know, a script and give it to you and, you know, publish it and blah, 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 and everybody, you know, point A says this. No, I just sense it in my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about, I don't believe God being angry or people being bad. I don't think of it like that.
Right.
God is gracious. God is good. He loves. He loves. It doesn't mean he doesn't have any, you know, justice or vengeance, but there's a time for that. And like what I believe in the Bible, it talks about these are the days of grace. And, you know, not getting what we deserve sometimes is God's grace and love.
Mm-hmm.
And getting what we don't deserve as well is God's grace and love. And I don't believe God's up there with like lightning bolts and telling his people downstairs to, you know, shake the world up, shake him, give him a good freaking shake, you know?
Right.
I don't really believe it's like that. I kind of feel like the all of creation, and the Bible says, it says all of creation moans and groans and waiting for God, for for wholeness, for
right.
whole. And I just kind of wonder, for me, it's more of an awakening in my spirit, kind of to pray more,
right.
To just ask the bigger questions in life and seek God. Then that's all I can say, really. But I mean, but I know people that aren't believers and people that don't spiritualize things that look at it and they're going, what's going on here? It's getting everyone's attention. People are talking about the frequency of it. And who knows what that's stirring in their heart or in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of where I am with it. Just makes me kind of pray more and just, you know, try to see God
so,
more.
So you do believe that. So, okay. So what, I mean, so why are you associating God with the earthquakes? I didn't get
well,
that.
Well, I just believe that God made all of creation. And
right.
I believe that he is everywhere. And if the earth is, excuse me, if the earth is going through changes like this, I believe that it's not outside of God's control. I don't believe that it's just this independent thing he created and it just does what it wants to do. I think there's purpose in it. Do I understand the purpose? No. Do I have a blueprint of why and when it's going to happen or what things are going to go? No. But I do think that there's a bigger purpose to it.
Right.
And that's what I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. But do I know what it is? No.
Right.
I just, like I said, I think it's more of a just an awakening and
An awakening for what? What are we supposed to do when there's an earthquake? I mean, how is that going to make us better people?
I think that for some people, when they get to a place where they can experience that they are mortal and that they will die one day and that this isn't really your home because you're not staying here for eternity, I think what that does is there's a sobriety that happens in our spirit
right.
where we start asking the bigger questions, just seeking. I mean, you know... I've heard this said, I mean, just go with me on the sentence to make the purpose. You know, the devil can't make you bad, it'll make you busy.
Right.
And whether or not you believe in the devil or not is kind of not the point I'm making, is that we kind of go through life and it becomes all about us and our needs and what we love. And we sometimes become out of tune with God and with what matters in life and the bigger questions like love and peace and the things that matter. And I think that when people kind of get to these near-death experiences and we see it and we witness it, and there's a sense of our frailty as humans,
right.
a sense of our we're not really guaranteed our next breath,
right?
You know, and I think that through that comes humility and gratitude. I think it can produce love, where we love better, deeper, stronger, further. It kind of can bring more purpose to why we are on earth,
right?
And that's kind of what I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay. And my question is this to you then. What happens to people that do not accept Jesus as their Savior? What happens to those people?
Well, I mean, do you want me to give you like a straight biblical text, or do you want me to give you what I believe?
No,
or
your opinion.
Well, because I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, I mean, I believe if you don't accept Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, then yeah, you're going to spend an eternity away from Him.
Mm-hmm.
But what I also believe is the way that this has been taught has been very cookie cutter, and people, it seems so us versus them.
Right.
You know, and I think that where God is some, in some of the most unsuspecting places. And how God draws people to Jesus is in some of the most creative and unsuspecting places. And does everybody use the word Jesus and use the name Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
And no, they don't. And I think that when we get to heaven, I think there's going to be a lot of surprises. Well, clearly. But I think there's going to be a lot of people there that this world didn't recognize and that this world didn't value and that God did. And I think that, you know, if you look at the life of Christ, his life is fascinating, and the teachings he teaches are so deep and layered, and they go and they pierce the heart, they pierce the soul. And so I really believe that when you're seeking God and you're truly seeking God, He will, in His way and in a way that you can receive, draw you to Christ.
Right.
But that's so creative and different for everybody.
Right. So how many Christians do you think are in the world? I mean, obviously a lot, right?
I don't know.
Right. But what you're saying, though, is that everybody that's not Christian is not going to be close to God.
Well, it's like this. I mean, that's a black and white way of saying it, but there's been...
That's exactly what you said.
Well, I'm saying yes, but I'm saying the application of that isn't black and white. So what I want to say is, for example, there's been accounts where people will go to minister and be evangelists in these tribes where nobody's, you know, gone in and infiltrated with their religion or faith, and they'll go there to be evangelists. And what they found in some places are people already having a knowing of Christ, an instinct, a knowing of Jesus, and God in that way, and yet the name wasn't Jesus.
Right.
But God was already on the scene. God was already revealing Himself in a way that they could understand, and drawing them. Like one guy was like, I know this man Jesus. I know him. And how did he know him? Not because somebody taught him through a Bible.
Right.
But because God revealed it to him in some way. And so I don't think it's necessarily, there's a lot of people that are quote unquote Christians that call themselves Christians that, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows where their heart really is? And
right,
that's what
but
I'm
we're
saying.
Not talking about those people. We're talking about people that are not Christian, period, like Jews, for example. Okay?
Well,
so, in other words, you're saying that the Jews are going to move away from Christ from God, or already have.
Well, if you look at the Old Testament, it talks about there is the promise to Abraham and the descendants, and the child of promise, and the promise, and that all of Israel will be saved, but it's not necessarily through genetic kind of ethnic Israel. It's a spiritual Israel. And again, I believe that Christ is the ultimate intercessor, and He takes on our sins, and He basically bridges the gap between us and God. And I do believe that He is the way to the Lord. But again, people that really come to know that, and how they come to know it, isn't my job to govern. And I never sit on a stool or anything, a throne, and decide who's going to heaven, who's going to hell. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's not my business.
Right.
It's not my place to say who's going here and who's going there.
But you've got to stand behind your statements. And you said something.
I've said it. It's in the Bible. You know what Christians believe, and you're trying to basically say you're talking about exclusivity, and the Bible claims exclusivity, meaning it's offered to everybody. What will everybody take it?
Right.
Will everybody sign up for this? What
God's
offering?
The Jews as a group do not accept Jesus Christ. What happens?
Well, there's
to that
Jews
group?
That do believe in Jesus. So
very few Jews for Jesus.
There's more than that.
There's probably a couple hundred of them. In the whole world.
Oh, no, that's not true.
Okay, so you want to make a generalization now? You want to tell me that a lot of Jews believe in Jesus?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's a presence. There are Jews that do believe in Jesus. I mean, I have friends that go to what it's not Hasidic.
Jews that believe in Jesus are not Jewish. Because
well, there's
Judaism,
Jewish by faith, there's Jewish by descent. I mean, you can't tell somebody that they were born from a mother that's Jewish and then they decide to believe in Jesus.
That's true, but it's not about the lineage. It's more about you. It's about your state of mind, you know.
But what about all the Jews that are, I'm a heritage. Jew, and they completely don't even practice the faith at all?
Okay, well,
so
what
are
about,
they? What
are about
they?
Them?
Are they Jewish?
Yes.
So it's okay for them to not practice their own faith, but then somebody that does practice Judaism and believes in Jesus,
right?
They're no longer Jewish.
Exactly.
That is so twisted, but that's
why.
Because it's a double standard.
Because Jesus is about Christianity. It's not double standard at all.
Jesus was Jewish.
He was Jewish. But it's about Christianity, okay? In Judaism, you do not believe in Jesus, that he was the Messiah, all right?
Well, you know what?
So I think your view is very self-centered to your religion.
You can think that.
Yeah.
I'm not unaware of how people view it. I'm
right.
not here to win popularity, and I'm not.
Right.
I'm
no,
not
I mean, in
to...
essence, you're saying I know the right way, and the rest of you don't.
That's not actually what I am saying, but if that's okay. how you interpret it, you feel free to do that.
No, then correct me.
I'm just saying I believe in the Bible. What does the Bible say? And if you don't believe in the Bible, then say, you know what? The Bible's saying this, and I don't believe in it. The Bible's saying.
Yeah,
no,
but
no,
that's
no, no, no,
your
I'm not
Bible.
Finished. Listen, you're saying. If it's self-centered, go to the principle, go to the belief, and go, you know what, I don't subscribe to this. I don't believe it, and I reject it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have every right to do that.
Right.
You know, but I'm more concerned with how do people actually live out their faith?
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about in the Bible the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, and that you'll know the Holy Spirit in people by the fruit that they bear. And the fruit is peace, patience, love, kindness, joy, gentleness, and self-control, and humility. And it's through these kind of generosity and these acts that you really see God's work.
Yeah.
And so I'm not hung up on going around claiming, I'm a Christian. When I was younger, I was, because you know, you're young, you don't really understand, you don't have the life experience. But it's more about living what you believe and loving people, and regardless if they ever jump on your side of the fence or not, you leave that in God's hands. But our job is to love. Our job is to walk this earth in humility and gentleness and self-control. And that takes, you know, it's a walk. Everybody's imperfect. But I'm more fascinated with that. I don't go around trying to divide people and be like, I'm on this side, you're on that side. If that's what people see when they look at what I believe, that's what they're going to see.
Right.
And I can't really, like you said, you can't be responsible for people's feelings. I can't either. I can't really sit here and change what I believe to be popular because it offends you. I just can't, and I won't.
No, that's fine.
But
I mean,
at the same time,
it's not about offending anyone. It's about understanding your point of view.
But at the same time, I feel like because if we find, there's a lot of stuff in Judaism. I mean, let's get down. There's a lot of stuff in Islam that claims exclusivity.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, I don't go around to Jews and going, so you're saying that, you know what, I'm goy.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically I'm close to an animal.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically you're the one that's entitled to God. You're entitled to God.
Mm-hmm.
You're the chosen person. And so guess what? Now you're better than me. Who's self-centered now?
Right.
I don't do that.
Right.
I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need to do it. You know, it's not, let them work it out with God.
You don't do it, but that's what you believe. You believe.
What?
You believe in your soul that anybody who's not close to Jesus Christ is far from God.
Well, I mean, I believe that, but the application is very, very creative and it's very not black and white, and I don't think you're getting that part, but that's cool. You're not going to get it. Clearly not right now.
No, I'm not getting
it. But second of all, I mean, it's hypocritical to sit here and point out, you know, or to kind of zero in and go, well, this claims exclusivity, so now you're self-centered. And I'm just sitting here going, look at yourself. Look at your own faith. Look at the culture that you subscribe to.
Right.
And I know you, Sam, and I love you. And I don't feel, when we're together and I meet you, I don't feel judged by you. I don't feel like you're looking at me like, oh, she's not close to God because she's not in the Jewish lineage. You know, I don't feel that.
Right.
But if you get down to what you believe or what you're part of what you believe, there's a lot of that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of that in your faith claims exclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I'm not going to get hung up on it.
Right.
I'm still going to look for friendship with people regardless.
Right.
Same thing if somebody's in Islam.
Right.
You know, everybody's for, it's all Allah or you're an infidel.
Right.
I mean, this isn't a new concept. You know
no,
what I mean?
No, of course it's not. But it's an ancient one, in fact.
Yeah.
But
I'm just saying,
you know,
if you're going to look at other faiths, you need to look at your own faith and you need to look at that.
No, you do. But I think this kind of thinking is what leads to wars and stuff.
I'm not starting a war with anybody.
No, you're not. But the religion, you know, can create that.
All religion can.
Okay.
All religion can. But no, I think that the walk of Christ, if you really study him, he's about actually bridging the gap and not putting up more walls. He's more about tearing down the walls. And
right.
And I really believe that the more I know Jesus, the more I can love people. And the more
right.
that I, the more that I'll quote unquote suffer injustice, the more that I will go the extra mile with people and love people, because I feel that from Jesus.
Right.
I feel forgiven for stuff that I don't deserve to be forgiven for. I feel blessed. I feel loved. I feel a sense of intimacy that when people wrong me, yeah, I might get upset or whatever, but I feel a weight to give to them what I've been given,
mm-hmm.
to love them. So is it that self-centered? I don't know. I mean, because even if people don't at the end believe what I believe, I'm still called to love them and serve them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the life of Christ. He came as a suffering servant. That's what the Bible says. He came not to be a king in a military sense, but he came to be a king in our souls.
Right.
And I think that really, if you're living for God and you're walking with the Lord, it's going to affect how you treat other people. It's going to affect your generosity. It's going to affect the way you love people, how you look past people's emotions, and you look past how they're hurt and they're pissed and they're angry at you, and you see that they just don't get it, or you see that they're hurting, or they haven't been loved, and you're called to love them.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, if it's so self-centered, I mean, really, at the end of the day, it calls us to be more for people. And I think that that's, you know, pretty profound. To be honest.
Yeah. Well, but you know, I mean, I just
and
know
all of
that
the Christian charities. I mean, there's so many charities that are Christian that it's not, you don't have to sign up to be a believer in Jesus to receive any charitable giving.
Right.
It's like God calls us to serve, and you know, He'll take care of that end of things. That's so personal, and I respect that it's personal. I mean, yes, I'm gonna believe, I'll tell you, but at the end of the day, how that applies in someone's life is extremely personal, and I've learned to really respect that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, too, it's like I've looked at other Jewish communities and Islam and other communities that it's about take care of your own.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's every person, but I'm saying there's
right.
a culture around it sometimes where
right.
it could be like take care of your own. And in Christianity, guess what? Everybody's your own.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they don't sign up for Jesus, guess what? Everybody's your own, and we're called to serve everyone,
mm-hmm.
regardless of their creed. You know, their ethnicity, because in the Bible it says there's never black nor white nor Greek nor Gentile nor Jew nor slave nor free, and that we are called to serve everyone.
Right.
So I think if it's such so self-centered, if it's really about self-centered, then we would just be all about us, you know, only taking care of ourselves. But really, it's not. It's about really pouring out to the world.
Right.
That's what I believe.
So what about in the history when Christians and Muslims were trying to ram their religion down people's throats.
Awful. I don't think that's God.
Okay. All right. So.
But I don't think that's not in the Bible either. That's history. What's happened? And
And
you're right. I think what happens is, this is just the corruption of man. Like the heart of man is not good apart from God. So
right.
man will take anything, whether religion, whether it's politics, whatever, and he'll make it into an empire and he'll abuse people with it and manipulate
right.
and control. And that's not God. I mean, you know with your brain, Sam, you look at people killing people in the name of God. That's just not God.
Mm-hmm.
That's not God's heart.
Right.
You don't have to be super spiritual to know that. And
right.
so when any religion is oppressing people in the name of God,
mm-hmm.
that's completely anti-God.
Right.
God is about choice too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God respects people's choice, and He loves people, and He invites. He doesn't force them to. He wants love. He's like a human in the sense of He wants intimacy and love, and He
mm-hmm.
doesn't force us to love Him, because then that wouldn't be love. We'd be puppets.
Mm-hmm.
So for anybody in Christianity or any faith to go in and be like, you gotta do that, da 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 da, and force with the sword, da 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 da. I mean, that's just not God. Like the Holy Crusades, awful. That's
mm-hmm.
not God. There's nothing holy about that.
Okay.
A bunch of corrupt people, corrupt men.
All right, we're gonna take a short break. We have a visitor, a guest coming in about 20 minutes.
Great, I didn't put makeup on.
She's a comedian.
Oh, perfect.
And yeah, she's a lot of fun. She's been here before. And stuff,
oh, really? So. What's her name?
Andrea Natoli.
Oh, wow.
She does a lot of comedy around town and stuff. So she agreed to come into the show. And so stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Trying to find a situation to straighten out my life. Is it ever wrong that I've been led somewhere? 3-2-3-0-8-1-5 and get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
So yesterday, you were all dressed up. Did you say you were going to an interview or a gig?
I had a I had a meeting with I got hired back in January, February to be a host for this.
That's right.
Vision TV, and it's for salons and spas.
Right,
and their business,
that's right.
Business partner was in town. It was more of like a meet and greet. They're all French and very, very French, like very hard to understand them.
Really?
So I met them at a really nice hotel in Beverly Hills. I mean, it's just I feel like I just go on these crazy adventures where
yeah.
I'm like, what am I doing here? And so I was there, and so we're at the hotel lobby bar, I guess, and we had the best time. This is the other business partner I haven't met. And he's really cool, and it's they're really awesome. But the exchange of information was hard because of
the language
barrier.
Right.
I mean, he spoke English, but the accent was very heavy.
Right.
So.
Oh, but of course.
But yeah, I mean, I loved it. I think it sounds so sexy and romantic. It's so beautiful. But I really was like, I had to say like the same things like 10 times.
Really?
And I was kind of like, I don't even know why I'm here right now. But it was fun.
Yeah.
Had a Bloody Mary.
And then you start talking slow like to a retard.
Well, yeah, I was just, I had to say the same things. But no, I mean, it's, and then, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. And they're like, what would you like to drink? And he got juice. And I was like, Bloody Mary. I didn't know where that came from because I never drink Bloody Marys, but it just sounded like a good idea.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, that was a good Bloody Mary.
Really?
Do you ever drink them?
Sometimes.
I've never really drank one.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
They're pretty good. It was good. Yeah. It really hit the spot.
Yeah, if you like tomato juice and stuff, yeah.
It was really good. Maybe I'll just start buying tomato juice now.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe that's what I liked about it. I don't know.
Yeah.
And the buzz was nice too. But but no, we had a great time. I mean, really cool people. Really, really cool people. And
It's funny how you get involved with all these foreigners, you know.
Well, LA is very international, and a lot of I feel like there's a lot of businesses here where the business owners and stuff are foreign.
Right.
I mean, look at you. You're foreign.
Yeah, there's a lot. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you're foreign. Are you considered foreign? Yeah, you are.
Yeah,
no,
I suppose
mean, you're American,
I am.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah, I've lived the majority of my life here, so I don't know. But if you want to think about where... Yeah, I mean, look, I am. Mm-hmm. I wasn't born here, you know.
Well, I mean, you're still American, but I'm just saying you're...
Yeah, I'm very American, but I guess you could say I'm a foreigner, too. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. So you get involved with all these cultures.
I think it's fascinating, because I've always said that I think that the U.S., this isn't true, but in a way, compared to, like, Europe and other places, it's like seems culture-deprived,
mm-hmm.
because we're such a melting pot, and we're such a young country.
Mm-hmm. There's so many different cultures.
It's great. I mean, I love living here. It's amazing. But at the same time, when people ask, well, what's your ethnicity? Like, what's your nationality? What are you? I'm like, I'm white. That's all I know. I know that there's about 500 different, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of Irish, a little bit of Scottish, a little bit of Native American Indian, a little bit of German, a little bit of Swedish, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I feel like I have no kind of affinity for any of them because I'm... You know, just it's so watered down that how do you claim, oh, I'm German and I'm Italian?
Right.
Well, there you go. That's kind of simple. And you feel
but if you were born here, maybe it doesn't matter that much.
I don't think it does. I don't think it does either. But I'm just saying there's a lack of kind of these are my roots.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
These are my roots.
Yeah.
But
so
every time
you actually work yesterday or was it just another interview?
No, this was a business meeting, so it wasn't really an interview. I'm already working with them and possibly doing some business for them. I mean, I'm in the front of the scenes doing camera work, like, mm-hmm. you know, interviewing people, which they're going to start filming in June. It's called the top 10 spas in LA
mm-hmm.
is what they're featuring. However, which means I got to make sure my hair looks good and I got to drop about 10 pounds. Hey, by June, I can do it. And
did they ask you to?
No, they didn't, but I know how
really?
The camera works.
Yeah.
They didn't ask. They've seen me on camera. I look fine, but.
Yeah.
You know what you need to do when you're, you know, I'm going to be doing salons and spas. I got to look good.
You got to look the part. Huh?
I got to look the part. I can't be like, hey, yeah, so I had a bender last night. I'm doing my radio show. Yeah, I didn't get around my mascara. It's cool. Let's do this. Hey, Kara Kimbrough here on Vision TV. Thanks for tuning in. I can't do that. Like, I need to be like, hello. No, I'm just playing. No. So it was more of a meet and greet with the other business partner and mm-hmm. to talk about when we're going to start filming and also possibly doing some work with them by getting more salons and spas.
Cool. We've got a phone call. Let's see
Perfect.
Who that is. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead. Hello? Yeah. Wrong number.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I think it's funny
how people call radio stations and they don't realize that.
I think it's funny, too, with ours. When people call in, they're like, boom, dispatched right in.
Yeah, we don't go through the screening process because I'll tell you why. even if you screen someone and they might, you ask them, what do you want to talk about, right? Mm-hmm. Once they get on the air, they can say whatever they want. So what's the point, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you.
It's totally unnecessary. But, yeah, it sometimes happens, you know?
I think it's funny people just...
Yeah, at least they could say something, you know?
Yeah. Get on there. Hey. I like it, though, that people are dispatched right to being on air.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So was Claire's husband here in town for her birthday?
No, he left over the... He left on Monday, so...
Oh, so, but he was here for the party.
Yeah. They had a good time. We had a really good time.
Yeah.
And the birthday last night, the little shindig was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It was good.
Yeah.
But man, this morning was rough. You know when you have those mornings? Because I'm pretty much a morning person. Like, mm-hmm. when I wake up, I'm awake.
Right.
Even if I'm tired, once I get out of bed, I usually can't go back to bed.
Yeah.
And so I'm very like, when I sleep, it's got to be at night. It's not, I can't nap. I can't anything.
Really? You can't nap?
No, I was
the day,
so tired yesterday, and I was like laying in bed going, take a nap. I couldn't do it.
Really?
Yeah, part of it's because my roommates won't leave me the hell alone either.
Yeah.
They come in there, they're like, hey, so what do you think about it? Look at this idea of her sketch. Look at this. I'm like, guys, fine, I'm up, you kids.
Yeah, just leave me alone.
So I think single dads are kind of hot.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that.
What's hot about that?
I just think when a man provides and takes care of his family, that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
And when a man has to kind of carry that load on his own.
Right.
And
it's unusual. So
it is.
Sort of
my heart goes out. I think being a woman too, and you're a nurturer, and you're kind of that's generally the woman's role, and you see a man kind of doing it. It just makes my heart go out to them. Like,
right.
Oh, they just need help.
Yeah.
But I'm not really signing up for it. But when a guy's, got a little kid with him or something.
Yeah.
It's kind of sweet.
Yeah. But, I'm sure it's hard for single mothers as well, you know?
It's not easy.
But they're more cut out for this kind of thing, you know? But...
I couldn't imagine raising a kid on my own.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people do it, and they do it successfully, some people, but I would just be, overwhelmed and...
Yeah. I mean, it's not easy, when you also have to provide for the family and stuff and go to work. But, yeah, so I agree with you. I mean, I think it's, it's a... noble thing to do.
Yeah, and there's just something that's attractive about it.
Right.
Pretty much, that's what I think.
Yeah. I think it's very shameful for a woman to lose her kid in a divorce or something, Because, the law is so much on the woman's side that if a woman does lose her kid, it tells you that she's really got problems, So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, some women shouldn't be having kids, though. But that, I mean, it's not for us to say. But when it comes to their ability to be a good parent. But then you get great kids out of some of the crazy situations.
That's true.
So if you told them not to have kids, then you wouldn't have those great people. But the parents were kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Kind of like my situation.
Yeah. Check this out.
What?
There was a girl, I guess, that disappeared in Florida. So I guess... they found her in a swamp, and she was okay. So, but check this out. The man who rescued an 11-year-old girl lost in the dense Florida swamp said Wednesday that God led him directly to her, and that the finding her was no surprise. So there's a person who is very confident in their religion. And, so the funny thing is he was calling out to her, and she said, I'm here,
How did she get? How did she get in the swamp?
I don't know. That's a good question.
What? That's crazy. How does some kid? Yeah, we just go out the back and play.
Yeah.
Near that swamp with
alligators. So you see, so he said he was praying the whole time while he was searching. So, who knows? These are the mysteries. Go figure.
It says.
But it sounds like something you would say.
Yeah, I mean, why not? It says with a girl, an autism-related disorder. Okay, so she has a disorder.
Oh, I see. Okay.
After she disappeared into an alligator-infested swamp half a mile from her home.
Yeah, she probably just wandered off. I mean, she's 11 years old,
Wow. Yeah, it says she goes, okay. It took nearly 2 hours for rescuers to carry Nadia out of the thick brush and swamp. Mm-hmm. Who goes to church with Nadia's family and was helping in search, found her in a dry patch in the middle of a swamp and called authorities.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, though, because, I mean, she could have...
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, because she could have gotten totally swallowed up by those alligators.
Yeah, that's true.
I wouldn't jack with an alligator. Those things freak me out.
Yeah.
They do.
Well, the Father says give the glory to God, so amen to that.
Oh, that's so... Thank you, Lord, though. That's good. Just because it's so... I mean, that's just so... Come on now. A kid goes playing in a swamp, goes running after a ball.
Yeah.
I mean, a gazelle can't even go down and get a drink of water in Africa without getting snatched by an alligator. And this kid's just hanging out in the swamp.
Yeah, I know.
With the frogs. Thank you, Lord.
Wow, and the swamps, too, you know?
I'm trying to tell you.
It's pretty scary stuff.
Man. So, you've raised two kids.
Yeah, not on my own, obviously.
Yeah.
Their mother did the majority of the work, but I was involved with them from day one, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's a good dad. Were you there for your daughter's prom and everything?
Did I go to her prom?
Or no, like, you know, she gets ready and all that stuff.
No, I don't remember that.
No?
No. Did she go to a prom? I think she did. I don't know. It was a long time ago, like a year ago, 2 years
like,
ago.
Like a year ago. I'm not remembering. How
no, but you know what really sucked is
what?
During her graduation, we arrived there and they wouldn't let us in. They said there's no more seats. And this was at a football field too, you know,
what?
Of the school. And I said, my daughter's graduating in there. You're not going to let me in? They said, sorry. And so there was a whole bunch of parents, you know, stuck outside and they wouldn't let us in. So there I am. I missed my daughter's graduation because these assholes couldn't fucking plan how to do it right.
That's not right.
Yeah.
They should have figured. They should have figured. Okay, we've got 500 graduates this year.
Yeah.
This is how many people per graduate they're allowed to have.
Right. And they should have made some room for standing room, you know. And
absolutely.
You don't leave people outside. So I mean, I was really pissed. I was gonna like sue and shit, but then.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to screw with you, man.
Why?
Because I do think you got a crazy business streak to you.
A crazy business streak?
You know, you went, you guys, your landlord was dicking you around and you took him, you know.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? You can't let people step on you.
No, I think that's...
How would you feel if it was your daughter? You waited 18 years for her graduation.
I think it's sad because it was robbed from you.
Yeah.
It was totally robbed from you. So, I mean, I just wouldn't think to sue, but hey...
Yeah.
You know?
Well, not to sue really for money, but just to get someone in trouble.
Who would you want to get in trouble?
Whoever was fucking responsible for that. The person in charge of that graduation should have been hanged right there in the fucking stadium.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a little extreme. You don't think so?
No. By the balls, too. If they had one. Or two.
If they had one?
Yeah.
That's crazy stuff, man.
So guess who's a newly celibate now?
Celibate?
Celibate.
Who?
Abstinent.
Who?
Lady Gaga.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
She says, I can't believe I'm saying this. Don't have sex. I'm not really cool anymore to have sex all the time. It's cooler to be strong and independent. It's okay not to have sex. It's okay to get to know people. I'm celibate. Celibacy is fine. So,
I mean, here's the thing. It's like, remember we had that lady on. She said, you know, you push the envelope, but you don't want to tear the envelope. And I think what happens, and I've seen this with friends, that when it becomes all about the act and not about the person,
right.
People start to feel empty and it becomes boring.
Yeah.
You know, and you need real connection. And I think people start to feel like, ugh, yeah, this is stupid.
Yeah, maybe.
But she's only 24.
Is she really?
She's only 24, and that, I mean, that's a pretty wise thing to say, but I think she's lived a lot in her 24 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
She has a lot of interviews where she talks about, you know, just wants to have a lot of sex and great partners and, you know, and so it's interesting she's gone from that extreme to this, which I think this is a positive message for people, though.
Yeah.
You know, kind of, like she said, the independence that comes with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna like, toot my own horn, but, I mean, I've been not doing it for a while now, and it has heightened my senses to stuff where I feel more like I just don't want to go there.
Yeah.
It's kind of a relief, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, when you're single and you're not in that marriage or relationship, it's kind of a relief to not be, I need it.
Yeah.
You know?
So they're listing 10 famous female cheaters, okay? And we won't go too much into them, but I just wanted to list them. They have Whoopi Goldberg.
A cheater.
She admitted that she cheated on her husband a few times. We have Meg Ryan. okay, who cheated with Russell Crowe, and who was her co-star, I guess.
Really?
Yeah, in the movie Proof of Life.
Yeah, but do we know they really cheated?
Madonna, and Alex Rodriguez, I guess, cheated when she was still married.
Hmm.
So I'm not surprised about Madonna, I guess. I don't know why. Leanne Rimes.
Ooh, that was a bad one.
Yeah?
That was bad because they were caught red-handed and they lied and tried to cover it up and then they got caught. It was just like...
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, because he corroborated and the guy that she had a fling with or a relationship with, he was with his wife still and spinning the story that she won't leave me alone, she won't stop calling me, she won't stop texting me.
Right.
And then fast forward just a few more months, and now he left his wife and he's with her.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
No. Another one is Jessica Simpson.
Who'd she cheat on? She didn't cheat.
Yeah. Apparently she did. Let me tell you.
With who?
With Maroon 5 frontman Adam Levine.
What?
Yeah.
Who was she dating that she cheated on?
She was with Nick Lachey at the time.
No.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying this. I believe it. Another one is Ellen DeGeneres. And, Ellen DeGeneres.
I'm just like, who has that kind of information? How legitimate is any of this, you know?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's Anne H.
Anne H.
Yeah. When she was with Ellen, but she did it with someone else. Gabrielle Union. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, she's an actress.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tori Spelling also cheated.
Well, the guy that she was with left his wife for her.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah. So did she cheat? No.
That's cheating.
Well, he's the one that cheated.
Yeah.
I mean, she's wrong too because he's married, but like, he's the one that had a vow to her, and so he's the one that's breaking the vow. She doesn't have a vow to the woman.
Yeah.
But it's still awful. You know.
Yeah.
So I. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I ever would cheat.
Yeah. Ingrid Bergman, if you remember her.
From what?
From Casablanca and Elizabeth Taylor, of course. So these are some female cheaters. All right. Hopefully our guest is here, so we're going to take another short break. We'll be back right after this.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone, commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
Okay, no guest yet. We're continuing the tradition of people being late.
I know. What's the deal with that?
I don't know. It seems like it's either an illness that people have when they live in L.A.
I think it's just there's no consequences.
That's true.
Not that I'm going to be corporal punishing. Because like I said, being on time is really hard for me.
Really?
But...
Yeah. But if you want... But when you
LA's,
have to be somewhere...
L.A.'s worse, you know?
Yeah. When you have to be somewhere, then you're there, right?
Yeah. Well, pretty much, you know, within 5 minutes. But, I mean, here's the thing. This is fun. This is a radio show, and there's press. Yeah. It's giving you press.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to be here?
It's not that they don't want to be here. I think it's
or
just...
Or, like, as far as, like, kind of make it a priority.
Yeah.
It's an elective process. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. If you'd rather sleep in, just don't do
That's right. That's
right. You know,
right.
It's elective
We don't
process.
Make anybody come here.
I know. I mean, that's the whole thing. If, you know, if there's people that do. Okay, so I'm looking up how to prepare for an earthquake.
I've got, if you want some facts, I have some
Please,
really cool
I
facts.
Please, I want to hear it.
On average Americans.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Americans consume 16,000 tons of aspirin every year. Now, that's a lot of fucking aspirin. That's tons. 16,000 tons. Do you take aspirin?
No, I don't take aspirin.
No, for
you?
Headaches?
No, I would take... I take like Advil, which is ibuprofen, I believe.
Right.
Yeah. Or Motrin, which I think is ibuprofen.
For me, aspirin works. I take Excedrin, which is aspirin.
Is Excedrin aspirin?
Yeah.
Oh.
It is. 25% of Americans believe in ghosts. 10% say they've seen one. Where do you stand on that?
Oh, it's long. Well, since we got time, I believe... There's a spiritual realm around us. I mean, just like there's magnetic forces that we can't see, but we know, you know, are part of how we're made up.
Right.
Energy. So I believe it's all connected. There's a spiritual realm around us, and I believe that there is a bad spiritual realm. And I mean, it's the same realm, but, you know, there's good spiritual activity, bad spiritual activity is what I believe.
Right.
But I think when it comes to, you know, ghost sightings and things like that, honestly, this is what I ask myself. How productive is it to chase these things down and try to get answers and stuff like that? It usually isn't. It's more about, I think people have a fascination for something eternal.
Right.
And it's something that is kind of seductive and it intrigues them. And so people kind of try to flock to that and honestly, because of what I believe, I think ultimately God is wanting us to have a relationship with Him. So if we're constantly going to anything else to get answers and to get, you know, it's kind of like we don't really need it. But people are attracted to it. I get it.
Yeah, I just don't understand how come some people get to see ghosts all the time and all the people that I know, including myself, never do.
Do you want to see ghosts all the time?
It doesn't matter if I want to or not. I mean, if it's possible, yeah, I'd like to participate in that.
You would?
Yeah. Why not?
Careful what you ask for, Sam.
That's true.
You're going to start seeing dead people.
Yeah. I see dead people.
It might get a little inconvenient.
Yeah.
It might get a little old.
Did you
old.
See The Sixth Sense?
I did, yes.
Yeah. Wasn't that a cool movie?
It was a great film.
Yeah.
It's one of his best.
Yeah.
Night Shyamalan's.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That was one of his best films.
Yeah.
But no, I think it'd be a little inconvenient if you're always seeing a dead dude.
Yeah.
It would.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, I think people just make it up. I don't think anybody sees anything.
I don't know. I don't know. But I don't necessarily think it's good if you're seeing it, is my point. Whereas other people would say, no, that's not necessarily bad. But
yeah, I don't know. All the supernatural doesn't speak to me. According to a poll, 63% of Americans talk to their cars.
Oh, really?
63% of Americans
really?
Talk to their cars. I know many people that name their cars. Do you name your car?
No, what do you name it?
I don't have a name for my car. I'm just saying that some people do, which is really weird, you know?
Do you name your...
No, I don't name my...
Like, you know, do you talk to it or name it or anything?
No, never.
I've never done that with my stuff, you know?
Yeah.
People like to...
It's just an internal dialogue maybe with my penis, but that's about it, you know?
But you're not like, yo, Stefan.
No. No name.
I met a guy who had named it and he... told me, like, in passing, he was talking about, he's like, yeah, I'm a good-looking guy. He's like, I got the arms, I got the six-pack, and I got Gino.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what? He's like, you know Gino. I was like, no, I don't know Gino. I'm not sure I want to meet Gino.
Gino.
But, yeah, so some people do that. I don't know. I don't personalize a lot of things like that.
Yeah. Check this out. 3% of all photographs taken in the United States are taken at Disney World or Disneyland. 3% of all the pictures.
That's so interesting because they really do provide a world that is, you feel as though you're in a different world. Now, I've never been to Disneyland, but I've been to Disney World.
Right.
And it's pretty huge, and it just offers people this concept of fun and happy.
Right. I hear it takes days to go through Disney World.
It does.
Huh?
It does.
It's that
There's
big.
Something like 53 Disneylands can, or 54 Disneylands can fit into one Disney
Are you
World.
Serious?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's a whole, it's like it's a little city.
I thought it's maybe three times as big at
no,
most.
No, something really, really big like
really?
That.
Really?
And it's something where they have like downtown Disney and they have, it's one huge, huge theme park with tons
like
of different.
Like a little city, huh?
Yeah, with like tons of different theme parks in it.
Right.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
So when you've been there, I don't really know the point of going to Disneyland.
Yeah. Yeah, Disneyland
I feel like
is
people
not
are
that get, great.
I feel like people are probably going to get gypped. Like, they're not getting their money's worth. Like Disneyland.
Probably, yeah. And it's got very expensive. I wonder how much it costs today. Maybe like $70 a person?
Oh, yeah?
Easily.
That's a lot of money.
It is. And I bet you probably more. And you take a whole family there, man. That's $1,000 a day, you know?
That's true, actually. Have you been?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been there. I was there a long time ago, but I haven't been recently. Nothing much to do there. The kids are grown. What am I going to do in Disneyland?
You want to go eat cotton candy and get in the Dumbo ride?
Nah. No, I'm not into that.
No, I hear you.
No.
I hear you.
No Dumbo rides.
Dumbo rides.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah. Let's see. 1 in 5 Americans cannot say which president is on the $1 bill. 1 out of 5. That's 20% of Americans cannot say which president is on the $1 bill.
Do you know?
Of course. Our first president.
Duh.
Mr. George Washington, of course.
Then who's on our... You know what Benjamin Franklin's on, right?
He's on the 20, right?
No.
He's on the 10. Oh, he's on the 100.
He's in the hundreds.
Right, okay.
I know that because of a lot
5
of
is
songs.
Lincoln and 10 is Jefferson, is it? I think the 10 is Jefferson. Let me look in my wallet. Now I'm curious.
What do you have? Do you got a 10 in there?
I don't know, but probably a 20. Let me see. Okay, on the 20 we have Jackson. Jackson is on the 20. That's all I got. So I think it is Hamilton on the... No, that's Hamilton. Okay, I think Jefferson maybe. But who's on the 100?
Franklin.
Oh, is that who was on the 100?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't a president.
Benjamin Franklin?
Yeah. He was no president.
Whatever.
He was one of the founding fathers, but he was not a president.
Hold on, we're about to look this up.
Yeah, but it could be Benjamin Franklin. But I thought it's all dead presidents. I don't know.
Dollar bill.
Our guest is still not here. I can't believe her.
How did you guys meet?
Andrea was, in fact, she was going to be a co-host. So she came in when we were downtown. She came in once, and we tried for a few days, and then we just felt that, you know, maybe it wasn't the right combination. But we stayed friends, and we went to see her perform a couple times, and she's very funny, you know. So I was hoping she'd come in so she can tell us, because she went to American Idol yesterday.
Oh, she did?
I found out on Facebook, yeah.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
Yeah, so she could tell us all about it if she ever made it.
So... You guys were trying her out for co-hosts and it just didn't work, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, at the time the show was a lot more racy and stuff, you know, and she's got a little kid and, you know.
Oh,
she
yeah.
She couldn't feel free to talk about just anything, you know.
I hear you. Well, you know, I mean, it's like with my show, but when I tell my family about this show, I tell them, you know, it's not family friendly.
Right.
You know,
But this is nothing like what it used to be.
Oh,
know?
I know. I mean...
You've given it a lot of, like, God-like... influence.
You guys should see his face when he said that. He's like, he's like thinking of the old porn days. And he's like, why'd I hire her? Should have come in here with her loud ass God mouth shutting down
my. You gotta expect that not everybody's crazy, you know.
I know.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is that we kind of go everywhere. I mean, you know, even if I'm talking about buzz cutting your balls, it's right. Like that's not something my family wants to hear.
Yeah.
So don't listen.
Okay.
That's they can just turn.
Well,
off.
Here's a follow-on question. It's, I mean, fact. It says only 17% of Americans can identify Andrew Jackson as the guy on the $20 bill. So we're one of these, 83% that can't, right?
I didn't know who that was.
Know Jackson.
Mm-mm. Yeah, my dead presidents aren't really ready to go.
Talking about Jacksons, we watched Michael Jackson's movie This Is It last night.
What'd you think?
And have you seen it? It was awesome. I mean, it's really, really cool, you know, because they're showing you all the rehearsals and, you know, but there's no, like, new songs there. I was hoping there'd be some new songs, but it's mostly his hits.
Yeah.
But the dancing is just unforgettable. You know, it's amazing. And you know what was cool? In the beginning, they showed you how they picked the dancers and stuff.
Oh, really?
And, I mean, those auditions, you have, like, thousands of people there, and they somehow pick someone out of the lineup. And they go, this is it. You know, this is the person.
What's interesting is that these auditions, too, I mean, these dancers are proficient, and they want machines.
Right.
I feel like when I've been to a couple dance auditions, and I'm not on that level of dancing at all. No, so it was quite comical.
Yeah.
But they want people that can learn it, like, in the speed of light and execute it. And so because it's like less rehearsal time, they get better, they get closer to the refining process and polishing it if they don't have to keep going over and learning it.
Right.
And so these people that I think that get booked are they're great in every category when it comes to dance, but they're also able to just execute it.
Yeah.
It's like these machines.
Yeah, but you're right. That's what they're looking for. You know, they need someone
dancing
who's
machines.
Got their own style too, you know.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, the dancing was just immaculate during the movie, yeah. And Michael Jackson just looked so frail, you know. He didn't look very good.
Really?
But yet, at the same time, you wonder how did he have all that energy when he was on all these drugs, you know?
Well, what do you think about, I mean, the doctor?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if he prescribed him that stuff, then I think he's guilty, you know. But that's beside the point. I'm just saying that Michael Jackson, I don't know where he found all this energy, because, I mean, this guy is like, his dance moves are just, he's got his own style of dancing. You know, it's not just one or two dances, but it's like a whole dance format that he created, you know, and you can pick it up right away. Even if you look at the other dancers and not at him, you know, it's a Michael Jackson type of a dance, you know.
He's
all
a pioneer.
All that moonwalking and stuff. I mean, I can't figure out how he does that.
Yeah, he's a pioneer.
But it's amazing.
It's off topic. I'm just curious. Okay, so I'm looking at earthquake preparation.
Okay.
I've been wondering about this.
Yeah.
First of all, we never know when an earthquake's going to happen. Like, we have very, very little, very little.
Yeah.
Hey, it's going to happen now. Nobody knows when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Which I think makes it funny to prepare. Okay. And it talks about having emergency kits. It talks about having your shelves fastened to the wall, large heavy objects on lower shelves or on the floor, breakable items in closed cabinets, pictures and mirrors should be hung away from beds. Overhead light fixtures should be braced to prevent falling.
Right. Some people have like pictures hanging above their bed and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that's a bad idea.
Well, clearly it's a bad idea, but when you go years without an earthquake, you never know when's going to happen, so you really
want... Yeah, but it could just drop. I mean, you know, it could drop on you.
That's true.
You know, even if it's not an earthquake, you never know.
It says store flammable products in closed cabinets with latches on the bottom shelf. It also goes, identify safe places both indoors and outdoors. For example, under sturdy furniture, against an inside wall where the other side is not exposed to the outdoors, away from mirrors or windows, or in the open... Away from buildings and trees, you don't need them anymore. You can throw them away, whatever. Okay, it says seek to educate yourself. Okay, this is the thing. It talks about disaster supplies. Flashlight with extra batteries, preferably one for each individual. Portable battery-operated radio with extra batteries. And then it says purchase and use self-powered radios and self-powered flashlights.
Okay. What about your porn collection? Should you put it there too?
I think it's time to get rid of that thing. If you feel these earthquakes and we're talking about coming to attention and asking the bigger questions, you might want to go, do I need that porn collection? Is it, I don't know.
Might need it when there's no electricity. But well, go on. What else?
That's bad. It's a self-powered radios and self-powered flashlights. Batteries would be hard to find. What are self-powered radios?
They have those where you turn it with a... with a handle, you know, a crank, you like sort of crank it, you know, And, yeah, you can take that, like, outdoors and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and they said that some can actually charge cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, purchase and use glow sticks. These are safer than candles, since you will be dealing with ruptured gas lines, flammable explosive gas. That sounds good.
Those are some great ideas.
So glow sticks are good. First aid kit and manual. Emergency food and water. Some sources say you should have up to 2 weeks worth of extra food on hand in case rescue workers cannot reach your location.
Yeah.
We've seen that happen. Non-electric can opener. Essential medicines. Cash and credit cards, I guess. Sturdy shoes for each family member. Man, it's getting real.
You know, I just actually, it occurred to me, I think I dreamt about earthquake like a couple nights ago.
You did?
Yeah.
Like a big one?
I think so, yeah. Yeah,
well,
I don't remember much of
in.
It, but I remember
was it
trying
LA?
To figure out where am I going to go. I was in a building. I don't know if it was in L.A. I mean, dreams are not that vivid for me.
Well, go back and get the details, write them down. Freaking record it. Update us.
Yeah. Well, there's so much earthquake going on that I think...
But then my whole point is, it says, oh, fasten this here, know where this is. I mean, I could understand how this applies, but what happens when you're in an earthquake and everything crumbles and everything's crazy, and you're like, oh, where's my earthquake supply? Oh, yeah, it's 5 stories below the ground. Good to get that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's better to have it than not have it and then risk not having it when it happens, but
yeah.
I just kind of think... It's kind of funny to have such detailed preparation when, you know, when it happens, you don't even know if you're going to be alive.
No, you don't, but this is in case you are.
And in case it doesn't get destroyed.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to have that kind of supply if something happened.
Hmm.
You know, think about it. You don't want to have to start looking for food and water.
Start eating each other.
Yeah.
Start eating dogs and stuff. Ooh. That's rough, Sam.
Yeah.
That's rough.
I know. There's one unforgettable picture I saw once in a magazine where they showed, like, skinned dogs hanging, you know, like in Chinese street vendors. You know?
Really?
And they're just hanging like chickens, you know?
Really?
Yeah. It's like I can't get it out of my head.
Were you there or
thing.
You saw it?
No, I just saw it in the magazine.
Really?
Yeah. I have not much desire to go to China, although it does sound fascinating on some levels.
My friend went there for the Olympics.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he loved it. I mean, he loved the Olympics. And
yeah.
It was, you know, it's so historical and there's so many cool things. And he's Chinese, but, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No, I have a real problem with the way that they don't value people.
People or dogs, you mean?
Both. No, they don't value people.
Hmm.
Not every human there. I'm talking about the government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think the foreign city most visited by Americans is? A foreign
Ooh.
City where Americans go visit. The most.
The most?
The most.
You know, I'm going to say something in the Caribbean or something like that. I just feel
No, you're kind of close, but...
Not Mexico? Nothing in Mexico?
In Mexico.
It's not...
Wow, you're pretty
It's
good.
Not Cancun?
Not Cancun,
Acapulco?
No.
It's not Cozumel or
no.
Cabo San Lucas?
No, you're getting very close. Tijuana.
It is?
Yeah. Believe it or not.
Are you kidding?
No. I don't know anybody that goes to Tijuana.
It's just because it's there. It's like, boom, jump over and say hi.
Yeah.
What's there to do in Tijuana?
Not much, man. Just eat tacos and shit and get drunk.
Yeah, what do you do in Tijuana? It's like really run down. I've never been, actually.
I've never been there.
Have you driven through Baja, California?
No, I actually took a cruise to... To like Ensenada and Mazatlan what's that other place? Well, Cabo also. And it was a pretty cool cruise, you know, but you land, you stop in Ensenada and it is like a poor place, you know?
Really?
And you have all the kids trying to sell you chiclets and shit. And it's like if you buy one, they're going to come from all over the place, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it pretty though?
No, not at all.
Ensenada's not pretty?
No.
Why did I think it was pretty? I thought it was pretty.
No.
No.
No. It's just a rundown town, pretty much.
Well, I know that there's parts of Mexico that are gorgeous. I mean, I have a friend from Monterey, and she said it's one of the most beautiful places.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like it's
Maybe
very,
some places
are. Very, very pretty. It's very rich. Yeah, Mexico, I think, is just so huge.
Yeah.
There's probably a lot of different, totally different, you know, things about it that are awesome and then some that are kind of run down.
Yeah, I have no desire really.
Mexico?
Yeah, to be honest with you.
Where would you go?
Well, there's just so many places. Right now, I'm on the kick of going to Hawaii. You know, that's where I'd like to go.
Ooh, go.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to go?
Well, we'll see. I don't know. It's hard for us to get away for so long, you know. But we'll see. We'll see.
And being together, yeah, because when...
Hawaii is cool, though.
We're so close, right?
No, it's actually 5 hours.
Yeah, but I mean, compared to the other part of the country, we're close.
Well, if you go to New York, that's 5 hours.
Yeah, so
yeah,
there
so
you go.
It's the same thing. We're not that close, no.
No, we are.
It's 5 hours. That's as long as it takes to go to the East Coast.
I know, but that's still cool for being close to an exotic island.
I see, okay, as opposed to someone in New York going to Hawaii.
Yeah, or Texas or whatever.
Right.
It's a big...
But they tend to go to Miami and the Caribbean and stuff.
They do.
Yeah.
But I've heard Hawaii is the most prettiest.
Yeah, it is really cool, you know. And especially because it's still the United States, you know. So you have all the conveniences there.
You've already been a few times?
Language problem, money problem.
You've already been a few times?
Yeah, a few times, yeah. It's actually very nice, you know. And each island has its own, like, personality and stuff, you know.
I was told if you like the outdoors to go to the Kauai.
Kauai is very nice.
Like, there's a lot of... The dude that I met, that's the older dude, mm-hmm. that we might go out. he's from...
Yeah,
Hawaii.
I was going to ask you about this. So you're going to go out, actually, with a dude that's what? How old do you think he is?
I'm thinking...
65, 70?
Yeah.
Really?
But it's not... I wouldn't be going out, like, for romance, just having fun.
That's what you think. You see, you're like cocktease and all these guys, you know, who think they're going to get lucky.
Well, I think this is a really amazing guy, and he's cool, and we have a great conversation, and why not just go out and have fun?
That's true.
I think he's pretty, you know, I think he's...
Bless you.
Thank you. Whoa, my, sneezing up in here. I'm tickling my nose. Well, he is a gentleman, I'll tell you
what, Sam. Yeah, I'm sure. How do you know? You haven't gone on a date yet.
He's a senior citizen.
Okay.
What do I need to be worried about?
I don't know.
Other than he's a cool dude.
Yeah.
He's super cool.
But you said you attracted to him, too.
Listen, attraction is very abstract.
For you, it is.
I'm attracted to him in the sense that we have a good conversation, and I want to have more of that conversation.
I see.
Okay. I want to hang out. I like him. Does that mean I'm attracted, like, I want to get naked?
Right.
No.
No.
But it's a very abstract. You know, women, it's abstract.
It is?
Yeah. You know, here's what I want to say. This is a segue. You know, and if Sarah's listening, that's good, because she needs to get told once in a while. She is a little bit of a critical, how do I say this? It's like this. You've got a friend that, this is how it goes. She goes, oh, so you're talking to him? But you're not attracted to him, right? But you're not attracted to him, right? And it puts you in this weird place that if you are, then what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're bad or that's gross? Or like, come on, Karen. Come on. Like, you're not attracted to him, right? He's not some guy face down and crack in the middle of a toilet somewhere and, like, you know, a homeless. It's not like he's a great... You're not attracted to him, right? It's like she should have a martini in her hand when she says that and a cigarette.
Yeah.
And just be like, you're not attracted to him, right? She said that to me last night because this guy I was talking to. He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah?
He's a good-looking guy. She's like, yeah, he just didn't seem like your type. I'm like, what's my type? I don't really have a freaking type. I mean, that's not true. I do have... There are physical attributes that I prefer, but when it comes down to... the whole person, you know, you kind of... This guy was good looking. He's tall. He's built. Mm-hmm. But he's kind of a little bit more, like, quiet, a little quirky, mm-hmm. which generally, no, I'm not into quirky guys, but we talked for a long time, and he was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, but it was like, oh, you're not attracted to him, right? You're not. You're just not... I'm just saying, Kara. I'm not attracted. And then we were watching The Millionaire Matchmaker. Have you watched that?
No.
On Bravo. And basically, all these millionaires, she matches them up with people. And there's this one dude who's really sweet. He's a little on the hefty side. A little as in more. You know, he's hefty.
Right.
And he's a millionaire or whatever. He's a big baller. And he seemed really sweet. And he was on this date with this girl. Of course, you know. And I said, oh, he's sweet. And it seemed like it was a good connection for him and this girl. And I was happy for him. She goes, you'd be good with him. You'd be good with him. It's just when your friends make stupid-ass comments and then they try to get away with it. That pisses me off.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you trying to say? I should be with a rotund dude? You're trying to say that, I should be with what I just...
Well, you can never win with women. That's the thing. Doesn't matter what you tell them, they take it the wrong way.
But what does that mean? You'd be good with him. You guys would be sweet together.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
I don't know. It's just weird. It's like me saying, like, somebody that's not that great, good looking or at all, really, and then saying, hey, Sam, you guys would make a great couple.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I'm just saying. I mean, no. I mean, yeah. I mean, she's, you know, she doesn't have any teeth or anything, but you guys be a great couple. I just see a connection. I see a connection.
Well, no teeth is going a little too far, you know? A toothless woman?
I get. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm just
is
saying.
Is that what you're wishing upon me?
No, I'm just saying. My crazy friends with their little attitudes.
Uh-huh.
You're not really attracted to him, are you? You're not attracted to him, right? It's, it, you know what it feels like? It feels like this. It feels like I'm back in high school and I'm in the girl clique.
Yeah.
And I have to fall in line and do what the clique does.
Right.
And I have to be, you know, everything's got to be decided upon as a group.
Right.
That bothers me.
Yeah.
Bothers me.
Bothers you to no end.
Yeah. Take notes, Sarah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, it really cracks me up.
Yeah. Let's take another short break. I mean, I doubt that she's here, but because this would be
kind of
too
late.
This has
been a weird week for us, huh, with the guests?
Yeah, I guess.
It's been weird.
I don't know. Yeah. So,
I'm gonna start telling people it's earlier than earlier.
Yeah, that's the thing to do. Tell them to be here at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll be here on time.
That's a good idea.
Okay, we'll be right back.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You want some in the
break the internet. Two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Kara in the morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
So, I know you're conservative and everything.
Okay, let's
Where do
it.
You stand on abortion?
I'm pro-life. I'm not pro-choice.
Right.
Yeah. That's I mean, I think if for certain circumstances, like, you know, rape or
right.
if you have to choose between the health of the woman or the child, I think using it as a form of birth control I'm not for.
Form as a birth control is totally a no-no in my book.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I just think that as society, we have to stand up for something. We have to go enough is enough. This is the line. And I think that, you know, my heart goes out to women, and I definitely can understand considering it. It's not like any woman wants to do that, but I know people that have done it, and it's just like if they could all take it back, they would.
Really?
And I don't think that's parts being told to women. If this is such a great option to have, why does every woman regret it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never met one woman.
Well, because it's not a pleasant thing to do, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, like, they would rather have had the child than have done that.
Right.
I don't know one woman that I've met that has gone, I'm so glad I did that. It was hard, but I'm glad I did it. I've never met one woman that said that. Not that they don't exist, but
right.
I think there's something to be said for that. That there's other options like adoption.
Right.
And giving the child a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, I'm for the life of the mother. I'm also for the life of the child. And that, you know, Mother Teresa was at some kind of political campaign and they asked her to speak. And she really didn't take any side. She didn't endorse anybody. She got up there and said, I pray to God that he would give us a cure for AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I already did and you aborted it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a really profound concept, even if you don't believe it's specific.
Mm-hmm.
That what about the people that could be doing something, making changes in life? And I just always look at the possibility of where life can go.
Right.
And
but
I mean,
what do you do when you have a teenage mother, okay, and she's not equipped to... she's not maybe even emotionally ready to deliver a baby.
Well, I don't know how she can. I mean, that does kind of suck. But I mean, whatever happened. I mean, you have sex, and there can be a loving family that would love to have that kid that can help her emotionally through this.
Maybe not. You know. But
I mean, how do you emotionally become?
What I know is these people become a burden on our system. You know, because we have to support them.
Well, I'm talking about, what about adoption? There's a lot of families that want babies.
Right.
That are so sad when they don't have kids.
Right.
And they want it. There's waiting lists.
Right.
I mean,
but what if the woman doesn't want to or can't go through the pregnancy?
How can she not go to the pregnancy? How is she literally can't do it unless there is some kind of physical threat? And in that case, then I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, to me, it boils down to, it's not, none of it's going to be an easy choice because it's a predicament that you don't want to be in. But at that point, is it really all about what's uncomfortable for you and inconvenient for you? Or maybe you can withstand some of the inconvenience and the discomfort and actually go, well, at least I'm going to let this life be life.
Right.
And give it to another family.
Right.
That can't have kids. And you're not a burden on society at that point.
Right.
And you're not going to be...
Yeah, but that's the ideal, you know, I mean...
But it's so readily available, and yet it's like this concept of like, no, just abort it. I'm like, what about the waiting list of people that want babies?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get it if you've been raped.
But they want specific babies, you know, some babies are not wanted.
Well, that's true. I mean, special needs are definitely harder.
Not just special needs, but, you know, I mean, race, you know, things like that, you know.
There's a lot less
demand for that.
I don't know. I don't think that babies in our country are sitting around waiting for families. Babies are pretty snatched up.
I think there's a lot of people, a lot of kids in foster homes and stuff. You know.
Well, no, there are, but usually at infancy, there's not. I mean, usually there's not this backup of back order of babies just hanging around. It's usually there's a preemptive need, like the families are waiting for infants. My point is there are options that would not put her in a situation where she has to fend for this kid on her own.
Right.
And then also she can bless a family. I mean, I'm not saying it's a smooth transition. None of it's smooth.
Right.
I mean, but at the same time, it's either that or, I mean, I do look at his abortion as taking a life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I just, when you look at it as that severe,
right,
you kind of wonder, well, what reasons really justify that? And
right.
I can only see a few.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, I'm there's no judgment towards women. I think women, it's hard. They don't, a lot of them feel confused. I mean, a lot of people I know, that somebody really close to me had one, and she just was convinced that and with the facility that she went to told her it wasn't really life, it wasn't really human, it wasn't really living, and she just kind of self-denied, you know, just kind of made herself think that, and she said she knew it was wrong. I mean, deep down, it's like she just wished that she would have not listened to that. And I mean, I believe there's forgiveness and redemption, and people can have life after any mistake that they make. It's not like brands you, but I think it's I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I don't condone it.
Uh huh.
But I do believe in the freedom that a woman should have over
to
her
choose.
Body.
Uh huh.
And you know, to decide, you know, I don't want to complicate my life like this.
Uh-huh.
And, yes, true. You know, I mean, people use it as birth control, which really sucks, you know. And that's what I'm saying. I don't really condone it, but at the same time, I do feel that if people have that choice, if I were a woman, I would want to be able to make that choice, make that decision.
Well, you know? And they can right now. Yeah. I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like funding birth controls. I don't like taxpayer dollars funding birth control. I think that that's
birth control or
I'm sorry, not
abortion.
Birth control, abortion.
Right.
Abortion.
Yeah.
I think that that's a real violation of American people that don't believe in that.
Yeah, no, I mean to support that, that's another thing altogether, you know.
Well, and that's what's been kind of happening, and then it's also what will be happening potentially with the healthcare bill.
Yeah, and but the thing is also I don't believe that if you prohibit it, then it's going to stop happening. I mean, you know, when it was illegal here, how women would go to Mexico and to get it done and stuff. So people would get it done anyway, but to make it criminal is I don't think is the answer. You know.
Well, I mean, I just I think as a society, when I step back and look, I mean, you talk about it on a specific personal level, and then you look, I step back and look at it as a society, and I feel like it's a failure as a society.
Mm.
And part of me goes, that's part of us failing as a society, as a collective.
Right.
I do. I believe that. But, you know, it's legal. I mean,
yeah.
I don't believe I don't believe in bombing abortion clinics. I don't believe in judging women that have done it. I don't believe in red, you know, scarlet letter A on people. I don't believe any of that bullshit. I mean, people are people, but I do believe maybe there should be some more, and there's some resources out there for women that are looking for all the options. I mean, my little brother, I just got the news. It's really hard, actually. I just got the news that my little brother has just gotten his girlfriend pregnant, and it's a very, like, mixed emotion that I have, because he's not in a position where he's been able to even take care of himself.
Yeah. How old is he?
He's 20. And he's just not come from a good upbringing and has not been able to even get his feet on the ground. I mean, he's 20, so he's not going to be that established anyway. But on top of the background that he came from, I mean, the guy is – this was probably one of the most hardest things that could happen to him. And now he has to be a provider for himself and this woman and a baby.
Right.
And I mean, I still don't think they should have an abortion. But it's hard, you know, it's really, really hard. My heart goes out to him, and for a long time I really wanted to help him out, and he was going to move out here with me, and it just never came together. I just wasn't really in a place where I could really help him out, and now this has happened. So it's really difficult when people are so young.
Yeah.
But there's resources available to help people. There really are.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're at the end of the show.
With no guest.
No guest, but that's fine. We always find things to talk about.
Oh, no, we're having a great time.
Right?
I just think it's funny.
Yeah. And everybody, stay tuned. We have great shows today. Coming up next is Jana of the Jungle. She's doing radio from Costa Rica.
Wow.
And if you're into the environment and things like this, I think you'll find it very, very interesting. And she definitely brought up my awareness about what's going on. Beautiful place, Costa Rica. And then we have Lunch with a Loveologist with Wendy Strigar. And you want to catch that one. That one's pretty cool, actually. And so, everybody, thank you for joining us, and we'll be back here
tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.